If you have your Bibles in Psalm chapter 30, I'm going to read the entire Psalm, Psalm chapter 30. When you find it, if you'll stand, we'll read the Word of God together. I'm sure good to see Brother Scotty and his good wife here tonight.
Yes.
God bless you. Brother Manning, good to see you back, brother. Psalm chapter 30, verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness.
Yes.
For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life.
Yes.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Thank you.
And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever.
Yes.
Lord, I praise you. I thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we can say, God, you've been good to us. Praise God. Lord, we want to worship you tonight from our heart. We pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, to be a blessing to the people of God. Anoint my lips, Lord, and help me to be able to say what needs to be said to this congregation. We'll give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I felt like preaching to you tonight on healing. And I want to preach on beyond getting well.
Yeah.
In this psalm, David's celebrating deliverance from a major sickness. In verse 2, he declares, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me.
Yes. Yes.
And throughout this psalm, David speaks of circumstances around his sickness and his healing. I was somewhat surprised to discover, and if you look at, I don't know if your Bible has it or not, but just before just under the heading, Psalm 30, it says a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I was really surprised to read that. That this was written to be sung at the dedication of David's house. When you read the psalm, it seems to have very little to do with the dedication of the house.
Right.
But it must have had some connection for David. In Old Testament times, people dedicated their house to the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, Moses spelled out those men of fighting age that were exempted from going to war. And he said in verse 5, of Deuteronomy 20, he said, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. Now, we're not given details in the scripture about that ceremony, but it must have been a very joyous occasion, dedicating the house to the Lord.
Yes.
We might have some idea of the atmosphere of the dedication of a home by the description given in Nehemiah of the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 27 says, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. So it's obvious that a dedication was a very solemn and joyous occasion.
Yes.
Amen.
And I think maybe we should revive the practice of dedicating our homes to God.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be an act of thanksgiving for God providing us a place to live.
Yeah. Amen.
And it would also be a commitment to God to make our home a sacred space.
Yes.
Where the furnishings, the activities, the atmosphere of the home are all designed to welcome the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And I wonder what difference it would make if every home was dedicated to God.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Would it make a difference in the decor of your home?
Come on.
It sure would mean clearing our homes of every idol.
Yes.
No little cute statues of big-bellied Buddha sitting around.
Right.
And no statuettes of scantily clad ladies.
Right, right.
In the living room or by the fountain in the front yard.
Bless him, Lord.
And no pictures of sex idols like Madonna or Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
On the walls of our homes.
Right.
And no home that's dedicated to God can at the same time welcome Hollywood sewage.
Yes, yeah, right.
Or allow porn to pollute the souls of the people who reside in that home.
Right. Come on now.
And on the positive side, a home that's dedicated to God would be a home of peace.
Yes.
And of joy.
Yes.
And of righteousness.
Right.
Bless him, Lord.
And the walls of that home would be familiar with praises to God.
Yes.
With the right kind of music. With songs of heaven, Brother George,
amen.
I thought about you singing in your home.
Thank you, Lord.
It's a place of prayer. Be a place of prayer. A place where the word of God is reverenced.
Right.
A place where worship of God takes place.
Right.
I think it would make a difference
yes.
if our homes were dedicated to God.
Amen.
In this 30th Psalm, David deals with a situation in which his sickness was so severe that he thought he might die. I think that we can learn something about sickness from the way that David handled his infirmity. You know that we've been through a time of widespread sickness in our land, our churches. We've had wave after wave of sickness in the last 3 years in our church at home. I don't know about here, but and we really need faith for healing and for health to have an immunity against diseases that are ravaging our churches and our communities.
Yes.
But I want to point out some things about David's sickness. And the first thing is that David's sickness had a divine purpose. In David's life and in your life as well, a trouble-free life often leads to a relaxed spiritual life.
Amen.
And David declared in verse 6 of my text, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved.
Never be moved.
And you remember Paul warning the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Bless him, Lord.
If you read in Ezekiel chapter 38, God planned an attack on Israel at a time when they had neglected their defenses. It was said in Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 11, it reveals the thoughts of God. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go up to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates. So, God means to take advantage of the fact that Israel has let down her guard.
Amen.
Now, we saw what happened when Israel relaxed her vigil on October the 7th.
Right.
We just saw an example of that.
Yes,
but this is exactly what happens to individuals when you let down your guard.
Amen.
Satan sees an opportunity to attack.
Yes.
John Wesley, you understand, was the founder of the Methodist Church. John Wesley noted that when people got converted to Christ, they began to do better financially.
Yeah.
He also observed that the more people prospered, the less committed they became to Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
And he said that in their prosperity, Christians tended to become more selfish, indulgent, and lacking in self-denial.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped practicing the spiritual disciplines that God had used so effectively to transform their hearts and their minds. He remarked that religion begat prosperity and the child killed the mother. When a Christian's prayer life becomes mechanical or sporadic, and Bible study is just a dreaded duty, and church attendance is hit and miss,
come on,
the soul is without walls and bars and gates. And I promise you that Satan takes notice when your guard is down. And when you are in a vulnerable position, you are ripe for spectacular defeat. But God is also aware that you are about to be the victim of your adversary. And in David's case, God put David on his knees through a serious illness. And in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 67, David admitted this. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. And in 119 verse 71, he continued, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. In his distress, in Psalm chapter 30, David began to earnestly seek the Lord. He said, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. And I think we can safely say that in the case of all and any sickness, in the life of a believer, it is a reminder of our need of the Lord and a motivation to seek Him. James, you know, the half-brother of Jesus, and also the bishop of the church at Jerusalem, he wrote to his scattered parishioners in the book of James. He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. He said, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. So our sicknesses not only make us aware of our need for the Lord, but makes us also aware of our need for the prayers of the people of God. You know, I just couldn't hardly believe how the service went tonight with people needing prayer for sickness and illness, because I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach to you about this subject tonight. And when we are sick, we understand we need God. We need His help. And we need the prayers of the people of God. So needing healing is a motivation to fix any relationship in the body of Christ that we may have damaged while we were well and sassy. But the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. I'm convinced that there's a lot of healing held up because people are not willing to fess up and straighten up with their brothers and sisters in Christ. You can hold up your healing if you are not willing to go to your brother and sister that you have offended in some way and confess your faults. I don't believe this means for us just to get up in the sanctuary and hang out all of our dirty laundry for everybody. But if you have personally offended somebody and done somebody wrong, you ought to go to that individual and get that fixed. And that person can pray for you along with the other saints of God. Confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you may be healed. Amen.
Thank God.
So I know that sickness is possible, and it's even inevitable as long as we live in mortal bodies. But we want to do what we can and should do in order to give God the freedom to work healing and health in our bodies.
Yes.
David's sickness had a divine purpose.
Yes.
It shocked him out of his spiritual complacency. And then I want you to know this too, that David's healing was divine. Psalm 30 is a psalm that celebrates healing. David prayed, David got well. He said in verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. That phrase, I cried unto thee, one man translated that, I yelled for help, and thou hast healed me. I tell you, when you get out of business with God, brother, I cried unto the Lord, I yelled for help, and God helped me, he healed me. David was headed to the grave. His sickness brought him to the gates of death. He said in verse 3 of my text, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit, that is the pit of death. David's prayer appealed to the mercy of God. He said in verse 10, Hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. You understand that David appealed for God's healing on the basis of God's mercy and not his own merit. Yeah. Sometimes we want to come to God sort of pretending like we deserve something from God. But David came to God appealing of the mercy of God. God, I'm appealing to your mercy. Have mercy upon me. The Bible tells us that we're to come bold before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We appeal to the mercy of God. And the answer to David's prayer is described in the very next verse. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth, my clothes of mourning, and girded me with gladness. And David went from the sick bed to the celebration over miraculous deliverance by the power of God. So we don't know how long David suffered before God moved for him. And he declared in verse 5 that sickness and illness has a time limit. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Woo. Amen.
Now, some have applied the night to this time world and the morning to eternity, when sickness and disease will be no more.
Yes.
I think there's something to that.
Come on.
Yeah. You know, the night, in the night, you know, the time world we live in, and the morning being eternity, when sickness and disease is going to be no more. But I think David was actually applying this to his own situation here.
Yes.
There's a hint here of chastisement in his sickness. Sure. He said, his anger endureth but a moment.
Yeah.
So it sounds like David may have been under chastisement.
Yes.
In his sickness. And you know, the Bible tells us that whom he loveth, he chasteneth.
Yes, right.
And sometimes sickness is a chastisement from the Lord.
Right. Amen.
And so he said, his anger endureth but a moment. So God doesn't keep his anger forever. And David humbled himself to call on the Lord, and the Lord hearkened to his petition.
Right.
Now you know that in our day, we have medicine, we have vitamins, and we have access to medical help. And so God often gets left out of the equation when we're sick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And our recovery is not considered miraculous. And God is considered either to be powerless to help us or else unwilling to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tend to think that when we have prayed or been prayed for, and the sickness continues, that God failed to act.
Come on, bless you.
And so our recovery seems to lack divine intervention. And so 2 or 3 days later, when the fever's gone and we're back to work and we think we've recovered in spite of God's absence in the process, I want to tell you something.
Come on, bro.
The only reason you're well is because God healed you.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It may not have been instant, but God does things His own way and His own time.
Yeah.
You prayed to be healed. God answered your prayer. God did it in His time and in His own way.
Yeah.
And it's important for us to understand that all healing comes from God.
Yeah.
Doctors can't heal you. Medicine can't heal you. If God don't heal you, you won't be healed. That's right. The bottom line is, every time you get well, God healed you.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Or you'd have never got well if it hadn't been for God intervening in your life.
Right.
And it's important in our time of passing from weeping to joy, from crying to celebrating, that we recognize the mercy of the Lord.
Oh,
He is the Lord God that healeth thee.
Yeah.
Right. I tell you what, brother, I decided that nevermore would I get up and say I was sick and I finally got over it. I'm going to get up and say, God healed me. And I'm going to give Him glory for it.
Yeah,
you can get a scratch on your finger and die, brother, if God don't heal you.
Yeah.
I had a man in my church the other day, got a scratch on his fingers, hand swollen up, his red streaks up his arm, spent several days in the hospital. Some kind of bacteria got in his blood. He could have died from that. He got septic. I'm telling you, brother, God is the one that heals us. God is the one that keeps us well, and He deserves the glory. Praise God.
Yes.
David's petition turned into praise. He indicated his intentions in his prayer in verse 9. He said, "What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit, that is, when I'm buried? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth?" In other words, I want you to understand this, that David had plans beyond healing.
Yeah.
He was interested in more than just getting well. He was committed to using his regained health to worship God and to declare His truth. In verses 11 and 12, David declared, "Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. You've girded me with gladness to the end for this purpose, that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Amen. I'm talking about, brother, beyond healing. What happens beyond healing when God has healed us? I tell you what, we want to be interested more than just getting well. We want to get well for a purpose. We want to give God glory. We want to let people know that God answered prayer. David said there's something beyond healing. I want to let people know God has healed me. Answer prayer. I wonder sometimes if we're just interested in getting well, so we can return to the normal routine of life. We're anxious for healing to take place. But I think, brother, when God has heard our prayers and God has healed us, our singing should have a new sound to it.
Come on now.
Our testimonies should resound with praise and recognition of the hand of God in our recovery. If we are well, God is the giver of health.
Yeah.
You know, all of my life, practically, I've been healthy. Never been admitted to the hospital. Had a few aches and pains. Had COVID twice, but nothing serious. And people died from it. And God spared me. And really, I didn't have a very bad cases of it. And I've just been very healthy, you know, with colds and just normal things in life. And I don't really have a lot to say about how God has healed me of, you know, serious things in my life.
Amen.
But the same God that heals us is the same God that keeps us well.
Yes.
And if God is keeping you well, He deserves just as much praise as He does from that person that He's healed. Amen. Praise God. So if you're well, praise Him. If you've been healed, praise Him. Because God is our healer, and He's the one that gives us health. And so He deserves our praise and worship. Praise God. He's the Lord God that healeth thee. And David also called for the saints to join Him in His praise. In verse 4. He said, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. You understand that we rejoice with them that do rejoice. And we weep with them that do weep. And your healing is a reason for me to rejoice. And my healing is a reason for you to rejoice. We rejoice with them that do rejoice. We weep with them that do weep. And we praise God with you when God moves in your behalf.
Yes.
Attention to what we do beyond getting well.
Yes.
Let God know what our intentions are. And I think sometimes this would help us to get an answer to our prayers if God knew that when He did heal us, He'd get the glory for it.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Yeah,
you won't get to know God, you'll get the glory for it. I'll give you praise. I'll thank you. I'll bless you. I'll tell it. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. I knew of a homeless preacher some years ago dying with cancer. God healed him, spared his life. And not long after God raised him up, he ditched his faith and walked away from the pulpit in the church.
Wow.
But brother, if God does a work for you, He intends for you, when you are well, to give Him the glory.
Amen. Yes, sir. Praise
you know,
God. Thank you, Lord.
If you're lost here tonight, God can save you and heal you.
Right.
At the same time.
Amen. Come on.
My granddaddy was a rough fella before God saved him. He made homebrew, smoked Prince Albert, had a terrible temper. My grandmother got saved. He tried to discourage her. She'd be praying. He'd come in, slap his hand over her mouth and tell her to shut up. My little granny was just a little frail woman. He couldn't stop her from praying. She'd pray right on through his fingers. She prayed him into the kingdom of God.
Praise the Lord.
Before he got saved, he got a hold of some bad liquor, and it ruined his stomach. They sent the doctor to come. It was some moonshine, bad moonshine, and He happened to throw up before the doctor got there. And the doctor told him, said, Mr. Pittman, if you hadn't thrown up, you'd be a dead man.
Wow.
It ruined his stomach. From that point on, he could just eat soft foods. And so when he got saved, the next morning, his mother lived with him. The next morning, he told my granny, he said, I want you to fix me a full course breakfast. I want the whole nine yards. I want biscuits, I want gravy, I want bacon, I want sausage, I want the whole nine yards. Eggs. His mother said, you know you can't eat that. Wallace, it'll ruin you. He said, I believe I can. My granny fixed him a full course breakfast. He ate it. It never bothered him as far as I know. He never was bothered about anything he ate the rest of his life. Because when God saved him, He healed him. The Bible says, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray with him. Anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith, not just prayer, but the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. God's able to heal you and to forgive you all at the same time. And sometimes our sickness is a direct result of some sin in our life. And Jesus said He would heal you and forgive you. Praise God. This is what the Lord came to do for us. He shed His blood on that cross. And that sacrifice that Jesus made for us is sufficient to cleanse us from our sins and to heal our bodies. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. I tell you, the Lord can fix you up here tonight.
Yes.
Yes, He can.
Yes.
If you're here and you don't know Him, you can be saved tonight by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Chester, God can do the work tonight.
He can do it.
In your life.
Yes.
He's our Savior. He's our healer.
Amen.
Praise God. I tell you, I believe you can walk out of here tonight with your heart cleansed and your body well.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
I believe Jesus provided for that.
Amen.
In the cross. Yes. Amen. While somebody comes and gets us a song, I know we've had lots of praying around here tonight, but there may be somebody here that you're still needing a touch from God.
Come on.
In your body or in your soul. And Jesus is here to help you tonight.
Yes. That's right.
I believe the Word of God is true.
Yes.
I believe Jesus will hear your prayer.
Amen.
He's a healer.
He's a healer.
Divine healer.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that the blood of Jesus is just as powerful as it ever was.
Yeah.
Praise God. I don't believe He's lost any of His power.
No.
That He's the same Savior that walked the shores of Galilee, healed blinded eyes, crippled limbs, raised the dead.
That's right.
Amen. He's going to raise the dead again, you know.
Right.
Yeah, the dead's going to hear His voice and come out of the grave.
Yes.
Praise God. He's got the power. He told Martha when she came out and said, Master, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, He'll rise again.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I know He'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
And the life.
Yeah.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. You believe this, he said.
Yeah.
He said, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I tell you what, brother, faith in God brings about great results.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. I don't know exactly how to handle this.
Bless him, Lord.
I tell you what.
Bless him.
If there's anybody up here that would like to be prayed for, anointed and prayed for tonight, we'll take time to do that.
Yes, we will.
Because I feel like the Lord just designed this service for that.
Right. Yes, He did.
And if there's anybody else that wants to be anointed and prayed for, I trust that the Lord has helped you to get a little faith tonight and to understand what God's purpose is beyond getting well.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Beyond getting well. This is what we're going to look at. Beyond getting well. What are we going to do when God has heard and answered our prayers and healed our bodies? Praise God. Anybody here? You need prayer and you've got your mind made up?
Come on.
Praise God.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
Oh, God.
Jesus is our healer.
Lord, you know exactly what He did, Lord, right here tonight.
Father, we anoint Him with
deliverance. God, would you deliver Him? Would you heal His body? God, would you touch Him right now? In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.